In Phoenix, I'm Joe Moore. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
KRKO Everett.
The Washington State Cougars wrap up their spring football drills with their annual spring scrimmage this Saturday, and we'll have it for you right here on North Sound 1380 ESPN Radio. Join the voice of the Cougs, Bob Robertson, and me, Bud Namick, for all the action Saturday from 11 in the morning until noon. New Cougar football coach Paul Wolf will tell you how the transition is going and what to look forward to in the fall. The Cougars spring football scrimmage this Saturday morning at 11 on North Sound 1380 ESPN Radio, home of the Fish, weekday afternoons.
From Daytona to Homestead, the 2008 NASCAR Sprint Cup is only on North Sound 1380 ESPN Radio.
Got a great restart. He got around Denny Hamlin. He's getting around Kyle Busch. But your leader is Carl Edwards by four car lengths over Jimmy Johnson.
Welcome back to North Sound Racing Hour number 2, presented by Action Auto Parts. Great Buddy Guy bringing us back. Man, I tell you, you two need to see Buddy Guy before...
It's one of our bucket list things.
Yeah, it is. Buddy Guy puts on a show. This guy is like, oh gosh, he's got to be close to 70 years old now and will just absolutely waste you.
He is Buddy Holly?
Buddy Guy.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a...
yeah. Not to be confused with.
Yeah. You watch too much television. Again, welcome back to North Sound Racing, presented by Action Auto Parts. Really a fun first hour. Friends from the WQMA joined us. We also was visited by Janine Moynihan. And again, I can't stress this enough. It's the Rapid Intervention Drags, a drive to end domestic violence, coming up Friday, April 25th, out at Evergreen Speedway. And what a great program and such a good cause that they're putting on. So
and Kelly Hale, he's done an awesome job. I told him just a little few minutes ago, I said, you know, I knew when I first met you, you were going to do something there, and he's doing it, and I think he's going to do a great job this year.
You could sure hear the excitement in his voice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's all jacked up. He's
not artificial. It's really him.
It's genuine, and he really knows what he's doing. So, again, congratulations to Kelly. We have got a gentleman on the phone now. For those of you who kind of follow what's going on around racing in the Pacific Northwest and the Inland Empire as well, Spokane Raceway Park has been the object of a lot of, I don't even know what word to describe what's been going on over there. But
attention.
There you go. Very good word. But they've been in danger of losing that facility. And a gentleman we have on the phone right now, Todd Melke. I hope I'm saying that right, Todd. And he is one of the Spokane County Commissioners, and they had an auction out there today at Spokane Raceway Park. And tell us what happened out there, Todd.
Well, 13 parcels. This is a total of 570 acres of commercial frontage and racing facilities, including a drag track, half-mile oval, and a 2.4-mile road course. And at the end of the day, Spokane County walks away as the owner of the racetrack properties and three adjacent parcels.
Wow. So now that you got it, what do you do with it?
Well, hopefully we kind of polish this diamond in the rough that our feasibility study described the facility as. Spokane County does own the adjoining ORV park that contains a motocross track. It contains an ATV racetrack, a paved go-kart track, as well as a dirt track. This would bring in, again, the half-mile oval, quarter-mile drag, and a 2.4-mile road course. And when you put them all together, I think you end up with probably one of the most comprehensive motorsport complexes in the United States. There's a lot of work to be done.
Todd, you mentioned diamond in the rough, and you know, we're involved with racing over here on the west side a lot, and we speak to a lot of the racers that have been there. A lot of us have been there, and you're indeed right. It's described as a diamond in the rough. It's a fast racetrack. The oval track is. It's a nice facility, and my question to you right now, is it a foregone conclusion that it will be a racetrack, or is that still undecided, and what do us as racers have to look forward to, and what can we do to help?
It will be a racetrack, period. That is the whole reason that we did this. We hosted a kind of a listening session where we invited all members of the public to come and share their views on whether Spokane County should play a role at all in the auction of this property. We stopped counting at 500 people, and I would assume there's probably another 150 standing beyond that 500. The largest public meeting, you know, we've got staff that's been there for 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can remember a meeting of this size. Three people testified against it. Everyone else said, we want you to go forward, we want you to secure the facility, and we want to make sure that it's in viable hands to really make it live up to its potential. So when I said we have a lot of work to do, you know, part of this is we've got to finish the legal procedure of, you know, what's a bankruptcy and a receivership. We don't take custody of the property or possession of the property until the court has affirmed the auction. There's also some environmental remediation on one of the wells that needs to be done. And until that's completed, again, we don't take possession. We are trying to salvage as much of this season as possible. The sooner we can get possession of the property means the sooner we can, like I say, work on opening the doors.
You keep saying we, and what raises the question to me is then Spokane County going to be the ones that is actually running the facility, or are they going to be looking to have somebody come in and promote the races, be it drags or oval?
While we own the facility, we are not in the race car business. we own a minor league stadium, Spokane Indians, but we are not minor league baseball owners.
Mm-hmm.
We leave that to the professionals and the experts. The question is, you know, to try to salvage a season, do we try to find some folks who can run this on an interim basis until we can really kind of figure out what the components of a long-term contract would look like for an operator? But we do the same thing with the motocross track that's next door. We have an operator for that. His revenue stream covers all of the operations of that facility, as well as provide some capital to reinvest in improvements. We're hopeful that we'll be able to do the same thing with this facility, although some of it has fallen in kind of a greater state of repair that requires a little bit more of those capital improvements to get it back up to snuff.
Todd, I don't know if this is a fair question to ask you, but you had mentioned that you're going to try and provide as much of the schedule for 2008 as you possibly can.
Right.
What do you have scheduled coming up at Spokane Raceway Park for 2008 that you may be aware of?
Well, I mean, the one thing that's a little disappointing is I understand the motorcycle guys for the road course have just kind of canceled Spokane from their list of sites. That one says surprised me because they knew that the auction was coming up, and certainly they've been part of our technical advisory group for some time. I thought they'd hold off. All of the sports car groups, as far as I've been told, as of late this afternoon, continue to have Spokane on their calendar, and we've been working with the local drag racing folks as well. So they know our challenges as far as getting the doors open. So we'll try to get there as fast as we can.
Todd, if you don't mind, I have a friend of mine that lives over in Spokane who's really well connected with racing here in the Pacific Northwest. Doug Pace joins us on the phone. And Doug, let's take off your racing reporter hat, if you will, and talk about what it means to be a fan of Spokane Raceway Park and racing in the Inland Empire. What does this do? What kind of hope does it give the average fan out there that they'll have a place to go?
Well, the saying goes, Steve and Todd, nice to meet you over the phone.
Yeah.
The saying goes, Steve, hope springs eternal. It is a diamond in the rough. And let's be realistic. Todd's mentioned this, too. They are into a position in 2008 where if we can get through a year and get some things done out there to get some racing going on all the facilities, I think that would be outstanding. But the long-range plan, what you can do with the facilities, what Todd mentioned is absolutely correct. I don't think there's any place, at least on the West Coast, where you've got three full-size car facilities next to the type of facility they've got there at the ORV park. So there is a tremendous upside. I can't tell you enough, and Todd can reiterate this, Steve, the constituency that turned out to urge the commissioners to do this. These are the voters. They vote Todd and the other two people on the panel in, and ultimately that's who they answer to. And it was overwhelming to come out and purchase this. It is a huge, huge investment. We all know the investment that's been done in Wenatchee Valley. It's a 10-year commitment to get that investment back. That's the kind of thing that they're looking out for here in Spokane. But when it's all said and done, just imagine what you're going to have out here. You won't have that anywhere else. And Todd, thank you, because when racetracks are going away, this one's staying.
You know, I'm on the SpokaneRaceWayPark.com website looking at a really cool overhead view. Man, what a cool facility this looks like. You know, as Todd mentioned, we have a road course, drag strip, an oval track that, Galen, you've raced on that oval, haven't you?
I've been over there. I've ran my electrical service van around the track. I would never tell, don't tell Todd that.
Yeah. But he's really a plumber,
that,
Todd.
That racetrack, the oval track, is absolutely, I mean, given the attention, it is hands down the best. I mean,
yeah.
It's a great racetrack, and it's been in need of attention for a long time, and I'm sure there's still lots of questions to be answered by Spokane County, you know, and who they're going to get to, you know, work that racetrack. It's just very exciting, like Doug said, to have somebody step in and, you know, for us racers as a group and as a family, as racetracks are going away, one of the best is going to remain.
Well, thank you, Todd.
Well, I think Todd would jump in with this, that when you look at the facilities, folks, that the road course really is the one that doesn't necessarily need the major capital improvements right off the bat. The drag strip, if they're going to take the next big step, and that's attract the NHRA, which is the national organization that holds regional races, that needs to be addressed. The half mile, the surface of the half mile, and Galen, you've been there, it's not that bad, but there are some things that need to be improved there at the half mile. But with that said, look at how I just listed that. You've got at least one that's going to give you a springboard to do something this year, and that's way better than what we thought 6 months ago.
Right, and I would agree with that. I mean, what you have in the road course is one that, you know, is basically ready to go. The improvements that could be made are, you know, some of the runoff areas probably need to be expanded a little bit and flattened out, different materials utilized in those runoff areas. The drag track, as was mentioned, we know we need to install a concrete, I call it a launch pad, and we do have the issue of separation of those grandstands if we want to attract an NHRA event. They're too close. With regard to the oval track, once again, we've got some cosmetic issues on the grandstands. We've got some concrete that's pitting that certainly we need to make sure there's no liability hazards for Spokane County. The other thing is we need double fencing to separate the track from the spectators. And then I think the other thing is, depending on what type of cars you're running on the oval, there's a little bit of a lip on that bottom of that wall that, at least for open-wheel cars, sometimes have a tendency to climb a little bit. And again, when you couple that with a single layer of fencing that separates the crowd from the track, that's something that needs some attention.
So I think Steve, Galen, Carla, we all know our cohorts in the business from a promoter standpoint, and any promoter that looks at this facility, even if it's a couple of gentlemen that come in, similar to what they did the last few years, and I know Todd's aware of that, that they had some folks operating the facility just to show that it can at least break even or make you some money.
Right.
Imagine the work that the Dolefelds have done in State Line to, in 18 years, turn that into a great facility. But you bring someone with the passion, and just throw Ron Bennett out there as a great example, someone that's passionate about the sport, who would step in and put the time and energy it takes to make a fair assessment of what's going on out there and start talking to the groups that you can get to racing on the surface. Now, I think Todd's right. Open-wheel racing can be done out there. It was done last year. However, we want to maintain a safe family environment, and those things happen. We heard about that happening on the East Coast just this last week, so you want to go ahead and approach it from a safe standpoint. This is a major undertaking. You don't want to get off on the wrong foot for the county.
Well, Doug, I'm sensing, just before you, Galen has a question here, but Doug, this might be a good opportunity for you.
Well, from a spokesman review opportunity, I think it's great because I've now got the racetrack hopefully open in there 5 or 10 minutes from my house. So again, Todd, thank you very much. from a racing
wasn't quite going there, Doug, but I guess if you like what you're doing, go ahead and stick with it.
I love that. Well, there's a lot of things, Steve. As you know, being in the sport, you meet a lot of great people. Coming up in tomorrow's paper, we talked to Shelby Thompson. Here's a youngster that started at that ORV park racing go-karts. And he told me this week he would love to see that facility open. It's one of the best facilities ever raced on. He pointed out the same things we talked about. But here's a 22-year-old kid that could make a lifetime out of Raceway Park and really put our community on the map.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long time since we've had that in this area. Chad Little, you know, a lot of guys have come out of this area, the Snevas, but there's a lot of talent here, and forgive me, but I got one of those coming too, and he really loved working on the car at Raceway Park last year. So he's itching to try the track, and so again, Todd has made a dream come true, not just for us old folks, but the youngsters as well.
Yeah, cool.
Todd, on behalf of, you know, all of us involved in the, you know, in the motorsports in this area, you know, we're on the west, but we keep an eye on what's going on over there. Thank you for what you guys have done and what you've started over there, and just hopefully things can move forward and we can get some racing on that racetrack. Thank you.
Well, you bet, and certainly we hope. I grew up in a racing family. We did boat racing.
Oh, cool.
Spent a lot of time on Sammamish Lake and Green Lake when they allowed it.
Yeah.
The lake with banked corners. as well as some other ones, Capitol Lake and the whole bit. So we hope as you guys consider, if there's ever a chance of rain out, that you just kind of pack up and head east of the Cascades, and we'll try to prevent that from happening over here.
We'll definitely do that.
You know, Todd, looking at this overhead shot, I can kind of find some places that you could dig out and maybe put boat racing in over there as well.
we don't want to compete with our folks out at Sprague Lake.
There you go, yeah, okay.
Small jet boats.
Todd, what can we do, Todd, to keep an eye on what's going on over there? Do we watch websites? Is there, you know, how do we keep track of what's going on at Spokane Raceway Park?
Yeah, certainly. There's a great network in this community of all the various clubs, and we'll certainly keep them informed. I know one of the things that we heard from the public when they testified is, you know, we're looking at $600,000 cleanup costs of just, you know, old 55-gallon barrels, tires, you name it, painting, things like that, and I think the message that came through pretty clear from the audience was, hey, look, it's just another dirty hands project, kind of like, you know, when we help each other around the garage. So put it together, and we'll see how many people show up. Well, we're going to take them up on their word on that. And as soon as we can get possession, we do need to have a massive cleanup effort. And I hope the racing community will step in and set aside an afternoon, a Saturday or something like that, and come out and help us job done.
Well, I know a good way to start this off. Doug, you obviously have Ron Bennett's phone number. He's got a really good connection on dumpsters. So
I caught that. I caught that. I think Todd's right. There's a lot of groundswell of support, and Todd follows obviously through the county and the feasibility studies that they've done, and being just as an interested observer of motorsports, it sounds like when we see tracks go away and they don't come back, the fans and the racers talk about those good old days, and man, it's just nice to know that this is going to turn out possibly to be that diamond in the rough that shines up. We talk about Tri-City Raceway, we talk about Spanaway and other facilities that go away. Now it's the racers' turn to step up.
Mm-hmm.
One is getting to stay, and Todd's exactly right. At the grassroots, ground level, you've got to get those folks out there. The Inland Northwest Superstock, the Sprint Car Association from here, the Northwest Modifieds. You got to get those locals out there, even the hobby stock guys who just don't really have a place to call home. They go out between the two tracks the last few years. They got to do the cleanup because I'm sure Todd would appreciate free labor, but it's also a labor of love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Well, Todd, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We have a couple of other uses too. I mean, certainly, I've got a nephew that's involved in the Friday night high school drags. And,
exactly.
We look at this from a public safety perspective. You know, the more that, you know, we're all teenagers, you know, we all, you know, every once in a while just had this itch in the bottom of our foot and boom, we're off the road.
I like that
road.
Line.
And, you know, the more we can encourage those folks to get it off the street and onto the track, great. The other thing that we've done is we've really ramped up law enforcement training in this area. They want access to a track, and so we're also looking at co-locating a regional law enforcement training facility there. And, again, the ability to have access to these tracks is just an abundant resource.
Well,
Todd, I would ask this because this came up here locally, and this would also help for the folks in Western Washington who are big fans of soccer. The potential for the county to put in athletic fields, so also it creates a mixed use. Have you folks talked about that? Because the soccer fans in Western Washington love coming here in early summer, late summer, because it's great weather and there's tons of tournaments. But we've all heard over here, lack of fields, and we know what goes on in Western Washington trying to build fields what's the potential for that?
Absolutely. In fact, the north end of this property has kind of been designated as a future softball and soccer field complex. If you, I think you're on the Raceway Park website. If you go on Spokane County's website and look under the Parks Department, what you'll see is a master plan. And that's one of the things, you know, to point out is we didn't just go into this kind of willy-nilly and pull a number out of the sky and figure out how to bid. We started off with a full appraisal. Even the receiver didn't do an appraisal on the property, but we went out and had a whole certified appraisal done. Broke the area into, you know, there's a gravel quarry there, there's the racetrack, there's open light industrial land, and there's retail frontage on what they call Hayford Road, not far from Highway 2. We did that. We put together a technical advisory committee made up of all the different racing clubs to say, you know, what do you think is the potential here? And beyond the clubs, it was also other amateur sports associations like the softball and soccer folks. It was the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And then we also did we spent about $35,000 on a feasibility study and hired a couple of national consultants to come in and say, what would it take to kind of make this track run? And they pointed out that starting on day one, you could operate in the black on the operations. You know, the question is how rapidly do you roll out and how aggressively do you roll out capital improvements? So if you go on that website, it does take a look at what that master plan looks like. That was done as part of the feasibility study. And then the last thing that we've done is, while we didn't actually hire an environmental consultant to go out to the site, the receiver made kind of a phase one environmental review available to us. We have environmental staff. We spent a lot of time reviewing it. We went out and walked the site time and time again. We did find contamination in one of the three wells. That was our crew that did that and tried to scope out what the extent of that was. So there is some remediation there, and luckily the receiver, before they hand this property over to us, are going to spend at least $1 million on that remediation.
Gentlemen, we got to take a break. Thank you so much, both of you. Todd, one thing before we let you go. Now that you got Spokane Raceway Park under your belt, how about the Sonics?
How about the Sonics? I got to tell you.
I'll take that as a no.
We do Bloomsday, you know, hopefully some NHRA stuff. We got a big plate right now.
Okay. And in memory of Super Dave, we got the Spokane Chiefs.
Yes, that's true, you do.
That's right.
Well, Todd, again, great job. Thank you so much. If you don't mind, we'll check in with you periodically, see how things are going. Doug, it's always good to hear your voice. Thank you for being on with us tonight, because I wanted to get, not only a journalist aspect of this whole situation, but a really cool race fans, too. So thanks a lot, bud.
You're welcome. Thank you, Steve. Hey, Carla and Galen, you get that car dusted off. Spokane Raceway Park needs you, buddy.
Hey, I'll come over there and go to work. I'll put in some, I'll get my hands dirty.
Yeah.
If not, I know a youngster that needs a crew chief.
All right, gentlemen, thank you so much. Good job, Todd.
Thank you much.
All right, take care. Todd Melke and Doug Pace. And good job on all accounts over there. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to visit with Kenny Milligan, who is the 2008 director for the Northwest Pro Trucks 4, is that
Pro 4 Truck Tour.
Pro 4 Truck Tour. Stick with us.